Blog Talk Radio. You know I love music. And every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun. But it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me want to...
Channel Sisters Advocating Via Economics Season 2 Episode 1. This is the Season 2 premiere. I am Beverly Black. I am the host and creator of Save Sisters Advocating Via Economics, and it is an honor to be here on this Friday, September 18th, 2020. We want to send our thoughts and prayers to everyone out there enduring the California fires, the Florida hurricanes, and the COVID virus all around the world. So first, we are going to take a brief moment of silence. Save Sisters Advocating Via Economics on Tribe Family Channel is a Gumbo for the Soul International family brand. You can visit our parent company at gumboforthesoulinternational.com. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a pleasure to be here with you today. My next guest has a wealth of knowledge in the area of insurance, finance, poetry, book authoring, or authoring, publishing, and arena, period. His name is J. Elliott Howard, and he is also the host of Millennial Money Management right here on Tribe Family Channel, broadcast on scheduled Thursdays. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Mr. J. Elliott Howard. What's happening, my brother? How are you doing?
I am doing wonderful. How about yourself?
Oh, man, my brother. I have to say I'm blessed. You know, that song always puts me in good spirits, and it has a very high vibe where I tend to dwell at. But, you know, I have to say that Mary J. Blige, she hit the nail on the nose when she said, "It's been a long week, I put in my hardest." You know, I had to think about that. It's Friday. All right, now, I know everybody put in their hardest this week. And my brother, you are one of the hardest working men out there. You're an author, you're a poet, you also work with HHS, and we'll get to that. And we know that you're also a radio show host, plus you just dropped your second book. So, first and foremost, we know that you are a family man, a husband, a father, and somebody's son. So we're going to get to know J. Elliott Howard. First the person, then the poet, okay?
Okay.
And then the businessman, and we'll just top it all off at the end with the whole spectrum. So let our audience know who J. Elliott Howard is in terms of, you know, where you grew up, what you wanted to be, and then becoming a husband and father.
Okay. Well, you know, I want to, with that, I want to give a shout out to somebody that was a very key integral figure in my development, because he got honored this past week, and it's a part of who I am. And it's Robert Bobby Howard. Of course, those of y'all that don't know, he was part of that next wave that followed Dr. King. You know, we just lost a special congressman recently, and he was part of that group where they were supposed to pick up and take up the torch. Robert Howard was recently honored with having a bridge named after him. He was like Congressman Lewis. Because of the right work they did with civil rights, and he was president of the SCLC, and he was also head of SNCC for Northwestern Georgia, and recently and his wife, who, you know, I mean, talk about a strong black woman. Now we're talking about sisters advocating and being economic. She's somebody that ladies, I'm gonna tell you something. I know that there's a lot of talk out there about, like, because there are some guys that aren't good, but when you got a good one, I mean, I know that y'all fight for him. She did exactly that. I like the town of social circle is now, you know, got to understand about Rachel Howard. Honor my husband. You're like, he put his life on the line for a whole generation, you know, and so. You know, but he's also one of the significant influences in my life.
Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations, first of all, to the senior Howard in your life. You're cut from that cloth, and it's no wonder why you would want to shout him out. We salute him and his sacrifice, and we will have to talk to you on a sidebar so that we can have him, if available, come on to one of our shows where he can talk to some of the gentlemen that's around his era, and we'll sidebar that. But congratulations to the entire Howard tribe, the civil rights icon that is in your family, that put his life on the line and made the sacrifice. So that's the cloth that J. Elliott Howard is cut from. Now, where do you originate, and what were your aspirations? Did you want to become a civil rights icon that put your life on the line? Or you didn't know nothing about that when you got here?
Oh, well, no, in my town, I grew up in a sundown town. For those of y'all that don't, for the younger generations that don't understand that, because the way the media was spinning nowadays, we don't have any problems. Okay, but the sundown, that's completely tongue in cheek and sarcasm.
What is the sundown town?
A sundown town, if you were a person of color. You know, and I am black, but I'm also Native American, okay? I'm part of the Cherokee tribe in Ohio, too. That's my mom's side of the family, descendants, blood, we're, in all of that. Regardless of that, if you, when the sun went down, it was in your best interest to not travel around because you would get harassed by either the average white citizen or the police. And your safety would be questionable, if not if your physical safety was not in harm, your career might be up for grabs, so to speak. You know, so you definitely wanted to be at home when the sun went down. You know, so that's what a sundown town was. A lot of my classmates growing up, when I was growing up, my mom and dad. They were lovingly protected me and my sister. So I didn't really know what was going on with my town until after I got up and got old enough, and then I looked and then talked to all the elders. They were I'm their age that they were when I was a kid. I got old enough, we could have those conversations. They described how things would go, how we're in the town, and you put two and two together. And oh, we were a sundown town. Did not know that, and so. A lot of folks are finding out in the media now is that just because you're in the North, you grew up in the North, doesn't necessarily mean that you're in a diverse, racially, socially acceptable environment. And so, now that shroud, that veil has been lifted. That okay, for as much as the North like to look down on the South for their history towards blacks in particular and the Americans, and then the North wasn't necessarily all that clean itself, basically. So, but my aspiration was I idolized my dad, and my dad is a loving father, and he was hardworking. He was always hardworking, but he also made the point that while he was focusing on his job, he also made time for me and my sister, to the point that when he would come off of the business trip, he wouldn't go home. If there was a event at the school, he would just have the driver drop his bag off at the classroom, in my classroom, and then just come right on down and watch the event. You know, he's like,
wow.
There was never an excuse to not. There was never an excuse to not be involved, at least to be there, right? And so because I grew up with that, I can't say that I didn't have that example. Because ultimately, kids will do what the examples in their life do until they know different or know better. You know, whatever the heavy influencer is, right? And then you get all that big decision about how you want to be. So that's why it's really important to have good examples in front of your children.
Amen. That is true.
You know, so that was that. My mom, strong and sharp, And in my town, even though it was a sundown town, talk about this type of miracle, she became like the the first black to serve on the city school board.
Wow, while she was in town.
Yeah, I mean, so
wow, congratulations to her in the regard of being a forerunner and breaking down those color lines, those color barriers that, you know, our people and our history was confronted and remains to be confronted with. So it just sounds like being from a sundown town and having had that level of exposure in your socialism, you early on learned what striving above adversity meant. And then, like you say, you idolized your father. So he set a good example for you in being that man that is present in your life. And having strong women behind these Howard men is definitely woven right into that. Now, we know that you also are a family man and you have two beautiful growing boys. So shout out to your wife and to your two Howard men. And that's one of the things that I love about what your profile represents when we see you on social media and hearing you talk, and also woven into your poetry is the fact that you are a well-grounded and well-rounded family man. So we wanted to establish and let our audience know first and foremost that that is the level, the type of brother you are.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I love my boys, and I'm passionate about it, being a dad. And, of course, like I said, I it's the example that was set for me, so I don't have an excuse. Not saying that there really is one. If you didn't, I mean, there's always because if you want different, and I say this to any guy that's listening, even if you didn't have it, you know what you didn't like.
Uh-huh.
So the bad example is still a good example because you know what the bad is, so just don't do that.
Right.
Okay.
Right. You know what you don't want to have in your life, so you look at the exemplification and you make your adjustments.
Right. Exactly. Because truth be told, I've learned this even with me growing up, like looking at older men. I will say, as a younger man, I was guilty of looking at older men and judging why they are the way that they are, man, that I was judging when I was younger. And only find out, like, okay, you don't know why the person, if the person was hurt, but they had nowhere to go. Okay? So, and it's not excusing behavior, it's understanding why.
Right.
And then when you understand why, like, you, the very least you can have is empathy because you didn't walk in that person's shoes. And that, like, each person has a different thing that's devastating for them, and you know why they are the way that they are. So you can pray, you can have compassion, but what you don't do is look down your nose or say what you wouldn't do or anything like that. Just, you know, be that different, and at the very least take the examples that you're seeing and help that be fuel for you to be better. If you can do better, then act like it.
That is very true. That is very true. And with the words of empathy and compassion, we're going to use that for a segue to find out about J. Elliot Howard, the poet, right after this brief message.
Poet and author J. Elliot Howard presents Rewritten Lives. This collection of poems is thought-provoking and encouraging for all readers. Howard's poetry anthology are reminders of his experiences through his life journey. He unleashes his profound emotions through poetic verse. Rewritten Lives teaches life lessons while exploring the author's view on human emotion, behavior, and gestures such as saying goodbye, having conversations, moving on, beginnings, dark moments, and much more. Rewritten has received over 22 impressive reviews. Howard shares his dreams and hopes to those who are willing to listen. Now available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to Save, Sisters Advocating Via Economics, Season 2, Episode 1, and my guest is J. Elliott Howard. I am Beverly Black, and we are live on Tribe Family Channel. We're leading up to the man behind the finance and insurance Aflac profile that you all have seen on LinkedIn. But before we get there, we're slow walking our way through the journey of the life of J. Elliott Howard, having covered his personal growing up in Sundown Town and knowing that he has civil rights iconic figures in his family, the ladies behind them, his family, wife, and children beside him. We know that he is also a literary wordsmith, poet, and an author of 2 books. Mr. J. Elliott Howard, tell us about the development of you, the author, the poet, and give us the full profile of both of your books and where our listeners can find them.
Okay, and I also got a special announcement about one of the books that I have. It's actually a news thing that I signed a deal back in August, and this is a special time to actually make that announcement. I am the author of Rewritten Lives and the new release for 2020, Take a Walk with Me, which is part of the Rewritten Lives series. Rewritten Lives was an independent publishing, and it had 22 reviews. It got 4.5 out of 5-star rating on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And one of the people that writer of the reviews was Henry Campbell, owner and founder of Hard Drive Publications, a commercial publisher, and he asked for, he asked me, "Well, what's going to do for my second act?" And I told him about the project I had working on. He wanted to publish my next work, and to which that would be Take a Walk with Me. And he loved Take a Walk with Me so much that even though he gave Rewritten Lives a 5-star rating, he looked at Take a Walk with Me as an even better piece of work than even Rewritten Lives was. Which brings me back to Rewritten Lives. Coming in 2021, Rewritten Lives will be brought underneath the banner of Hard Drive Publications.
Woo! So, congratulations!
So the first 2 books in the series, and there's 4. I'm working on the 3rd one. So there's going to be a re-release of Rewritten Lives under Henry Campbell's Hard Drive Publications. Stay tuned for that. I made that announcement here on Beverly Black Show.
Wow!
I'll keep you advised as it goes forward because that's going to happen. And so,
congratulations!
Right. So the Rewritten Lives books that are available, the original run is still available on Amazon. Those will now become collector's edition. Okay. Because the new one is going to be coming out underneath Hard Drive. So I wanted to make that announcement right here, right now. Okay.
Wow. Congratulations. Congratulations to both you and Hard Drive Publishing for this upward movement, momentum, and just keep climbing. The success is just, it's popping off.
Oh, yeah. See, the reason why I got into poetry was, I moved from my hometown of Findlay to Houston. I didn't know anybody. And I like to talk, and I try my best to relate and all that. And poetry became a place where I could actually funnel my emotions and get all my thoughts out, right? Because for all the world that says that find somebody that you can talk to, communicate with, nobody has time to just like give their shoulder all the time, but you can always, right? It's always more important for anybody else knowing where you are. You need to know where you are. And so however you get that out, and then you read what you wrote so you can know where you are, then you can take your next step in life, then that's what you got to do. And along the way, poetry served as a guidepost for me. And so I was never a Shakespeare fan, even though I do acknowledge the fact that he was good at what he did. No hate, his style wasn't for me. I was more of a catastrophic guy. I like Canterbury Tales. I like the fact that I could read a poem by itself, and I love it, or I can read beginning to end, and then it tells a story. So that was a heavy influencer for me, and so Rewritten Lives is in such that type of vein. Story is an implicit tale of evolution, because we are always in a stage of change. And so the poems serve as like guidebooks. That's the reason why there's chapters, and it takes you all the cycles that we go through when we are evolving. And so then Take a Walk with Me picks up from that, but
before you go to Take a Walk with Me, that's pretty deep to craft your book in a way and in a style that mirrors how we evolve as people in life. Go deeper into that for me.
Okay, well, let's bring this up. I'll just tell you like how the chapters in Rewritten Lives, there's a prologue called Stage for Ebony. Then chapter one is Saying Goodbye. Chapter two is like, and there's evidence for everything that we go with the change in our life. There's always something that sparks the change, in whatever particular area. And so there's evidence, just ironically, that my grandmother had died of cancer. And she was in Ohio when I was in Texas, so I couldn't get to her. So I wrote poems and sent them to her, and my family read the poems to her. And so that was the part. Even though I like, in the book, I don't make any, none of the poems do I ever make a mention of her dying of cancer. It's just poems of sincere connection. And so that's the prologue. So then when that event happens, that means that you're going to have to change. And for me, it was the adjustment of, he's not going to be here anymore. Okay? So I have to adjust to her not being there. But I go to Ohio, go to the great city of Fostoria. I drive by the house. She's not there. And you got to get used to her not being there. If you ever really get used to not seeing a loved one, if we ever do. But we got to adjust to the fact that we're not going to see them. So then you got to say goodbye. You got to let this whole process of letting go. Then life sessions. What do you learn about yourself after you've begun the process of letting go? Then there comes the season of the darkness. That's chapter three, where it's the battle of the old you versus the new you. And that deep emotions, the anger, the frustrations, the other things that go along with that, the poems that wrap around that theme. And then you come out of the darkness. You don't want to stay angry forever. Life's too short for that, right? And however you come out of that, you're coming out of that. And then you start rebuilding your broken heart. That's the next chapter, rebuilding broken heart. And then chapter six focuses on for love. And, things that the new passions, the things that now that you've gone through, when you've gone through the process of change, your love interest might have changed. You're just not what you used to be. So what you used to love before, like before, you don't now. So what is that? And then you go after that. And then finally, there's the conclusion. And that's the conclusion. The last poem in that chapter is a means to an end. Yeah, and it talks about the fact of everything has a purpose. Nothing is just happenstance. Like, there's a reason for it. Like, you might, and all things will be revealed in time. Yeah, but this puzzle of life that gets, where the pieces get put together, we will ultimately see the picture, and it's fulfilled. And it's full. In Corinthians, in the Bible, they talk about the fact of, we know that the whole part of it that talks about love. But on the other side of that chapter, it talks about, we look, right now we see through a glass darkly, but then we will see it in the clear. Now, so
wow.
So we will get to the full vision of what everything actually is, and so that was a big influence for me. So Rewritten Lives is really poems that really encapsulate the change. Okay, and so then when we go from there to Take a Walk with Me, the difference between the two. Yes, there is an evolution of change per se. They offer some that they Take a Walk with Me. Like, again, it's like with Rewritten Lives. The poems can stand alone, but if you read beginning to end, the storyline is implicit. All of that. However, Take a Walk with Me, because I'm not the love poem type of guy. I'm not even the erotic poem type of guy. Okay? But what I am all about is the story of the journey. Okay? That type of thing. Right? And so we'll Take a Walk with Me to the concept is, there's millions of men in the world, right? There's millions of us men, right? But there's really only probably a couple of us, a really small handful that can walk up to you without any pretense and say, "Take a walk with me." You get up and you'll go.
Yeah.
No questions asked. Okay. Whoever that guy, but the guy that you would do that to, or do that for, has to be really special. He's just not anybody. Right?
True.
He's just not.
True.
He's not, no one just gets unless there's it. And so Take a Walk with Me is wrapped up in that thought process. And then it has a different vibe, a different feel. It has haiku in it. I mean, the poems are interwoven, propel you through the book. It stair steps you all the way straight through. Different periods. Like, you want to know what it's like to walk in a man's mind that actually is in love with you. What does that
mean? Wow.
Because, you know what I'm saying? And then, like, because it's when I want to walk up to you and say, "Take a walk with me," are we really feeling the butterflies? Yeah, we are. I mean, I would never presume to speak for all men, but. Because all men are just like women in this regard. We're all snowflakes, no two snowflakes are the same. However, you know, it is the whole thing we do. We walk up, and when we get to the part where we have the gumption to walk up to you and ask you, we're hoping that you say yes, and we're being serious about it.
Right. And especially a man putting his heart out there, you know what that means. Yeah.
Right.
And then you said that you were developing your third book.
Yeah, that book's called Days of
Revelation.
Wow.
Repeat that, please.
Days of Revelation.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to elaborate?
It's after you've gone through the changes. You're in the right relationships. You're on that journey after you've gone through the completion of testing. You stop for a moment and you look back and you assess what you actually learned. It's a time to think. The days of revelation. What's been revealed to you? What do you actually see? Because when we're going through stuff, there's one way we're thinking about it when we're going through, right?
Mm-hmm.
But after you've gotten, after you're done with that particular part of your change, what did you really learn? I will say, in my experience, I went through some very challenging times in my life, and there were people that I thought that were my friends. The whole typical Jesus situation, where Lord, I'll never leave you. If someone comes after, you know, I'll have your back. Only to deny him three times for the cock crows. you know, people that say a lot, but when it comes to it, what were their actions really? And were they really ever for you? And that's just the people side of things, not the career and all the stuff like that. And speaking of the career, there's one way that you saw.
Before you get to the career, we have a commercial break before we segue to the career. But we are definitely ready to hear about the career. Now, what I love about you, first of all, congratulations to all your publications.
Thank you. Thank you.
Congratulations, a big salute and a hand to you and all that you do with H.D. Campbell and Hard Drive Publishing and, of course, rewrittenlives.com, your home on the web. So we salute you for that. And what I love about having discussions with you is that you get a spectrum the full spectrum from the conversation about life, and you have a way of being able to convey it in a very unique style, and that just like with your writing, with your poetry, it's a story, it's a walk, it's a journey, and that's what I find very unique about you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, this is Beverly Black, and I am speaking with Mr. J. Elliott Howard on SAVE, Sisters Advocating Via Economics. Now, before we can even get to economics, we have to get to who we are as individuals, and that's what I wanted to establish first here on our season two premiere with you, Mr. Howard, so that people can understand you as the person, because we have to have a healthy understanding of ourselves before we get into business. But now let's switch over to the business side, because we know that you are in the organization HHS. I would like for you to break that all down for us. And then also, when you finish with that, we want you to segue over after that segment. We'll take a commercial, and then we'll switch over to your Aflac side of your profile. So what is HHS? What is your role there, and what does that entail?
Okay, I will tell you one moment. I got a special surprise for you, because one of the people that I do this stuff for, and it just popped up right beside me. I just want him to say hello. Ladies and gentlemen, my oldest, J. Elliott Howard Jr. Say hello.
Wow. Hello, Mr. J. Elliott Howard Jr. How are you? I'm Beverly Black on Tribe Family Channel with your dad. We do millennial money management. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to hear your voice. I've seen your dad profile his family, and you and your little brother have grown quite a bit. So congratulations to your next level, being in high school now. And we're looking forward to great things out of you and your journey. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you, son.
You're welcome. You're all welcome.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I remember when we first got on the air a few years ago, and he was so much younger, and, you know, I kind of hear him in the background, and I wanted you to, you know, push him on out there, and look where we are now. we've arrived.
we're
at that point.
Yeah, we are.
That is amazing. That's so amazing. You know, again, those Howard men and those Howard women and the family dynamics and just having that beautiful foundation and that support system. See, you all exemplify that. So thank you very much for being a fine example. Now tell us about, since we're Sisters Advocating Via Economics, as far as myself, and you are a brother that has always held a sister down, I wanted you to be on this show. So tell us about the economic side of who you are.
Okay, well, the economic side of who I am, this is where the Aflac comes in, and this is where Millennial Money Management comes in. Because I had a conversation with my vice president with my company, HHS. Now, my company is not Health and Human Services, it's Hospital Housekeeping Systems, and that's what they were formerly known as. Now it's just HHS. but and we cover about eight different industries, but what we do is provide that layer of protection that fights COVID, actually. And
so, let me stop you for a minute. HHS, Health and Human Services, right?
That's the government. What my
company
calls it, HHS. there was this hospital housekeeping systems was the original name of it. They're still in the process of transitioning what some of these other these new definitions are, because they don't just do stuff with hospitals that are in like eight to nine different industries worldwide. Is we'll just say, for example, because I do work with St. Elizabeth Hospital down in Beaumont, and where the doctors and the nurses take care of the patient, we actually provide that layer of protection that prevents infection from breaking out into the hospital and into the community. So
that I can be clear, sorry to cut you off, is this Health Resources and Services Administration?
No. It's Hospital Housekeeping System.
Okay.
That's the name.
Okay,
that's
go ahead.
So I think that's one of the reasons why their marketing department is working on the changing up of some stuff because of that. But the thing is that they're much more than just because they've had to start to change it because of the fact that they're more than just working with hospitals. They're everywhere. And it becomes really key because of the fact that, you know, we've heard plenty of horror stories of somebody going into the hospital because they had the flu, or they had a broken leg, and then because the infection wasn't controlled, they ended up catching the flu and then dying because that was a secondary infection. And so what our organization does is that we actually provide that layer of protection that the doctors and nurses can't provide. So when you go into the hospital, you only have to be concerned with, as a patient, what you came in there for. You came in there because of the fact you broke your ankle playing, you know, you're on a dance team or something, right? Well, then that's the only reason why you should be staying in the hospital. And so when you're done, get out and go home. And so my organization provides exactly that. So worldwide, we've been in the facilities, even in China, Japan, Korea, South America, Mexico, a number of spots in the Caribbean, and then we're in at least, 40 states. We're working on getting on a couple more. And it provides a way of it really, I like this work because it's a way of helping people. I have really liked during this whole pandemic period, and it's because of things were locked down. Patients weren't able to get visitation from the family even. And so we were meeting with the patients and providing patient awareness and providing that patient care and being those individuals that, because we're not doctors, we're actually somebody else, it actually provides that way of bringing comfort to the patient. You can actually have a real conversation instead of needles and medicine. And the patients have actually enjoyed that. And because you have to be in the right spirit and mind, it really is true. You know, a merry heart does do good like a medicine. And we provide that.
Now, that is very interesting, and of course, I couldn't give up looking for it. As far as the website, and I can understand the confusion with HHS, Health and Human Services. So let me see if I have located the correct company, HS1.com.
Yeah.
At Silver Creek Road in Dripping Springs, Texas. All right. So
yeah,
let me just say this right quick about that company. HHS serves more than 500 partner organizations, both domestically and internationally, while employing over 17,000 team members and 1,400 managers. Our sustained rapid growth has primarily been by reference, which has attributed to our 97% retention rate. While our company offers a diverse set of support services for healthcare, resorts, senior living, government, aviation, and education industries, we intentionally invest our resources to ensure operational and service integrity for every service in every industry. HHS has built a highly focused team of operational experts who are specialized in their specific service area, which guarantees our partners always receive operational excellence and proficiency. Over our past 45 years in the service support service industry, we have been successful at identifying and serving our customers' needs and developing forward-thinking solutions. As we continue to expand and diversify, we always keep our partners' needs top priority. That's why our investments are developed to truly encompass what it means to be a full support service provider. And that's really what J. Elliott Howard just said.
Yep.
Well, congratulations. That is. Congratulations, congratulations, congratulations. I had to find this company because it's amazing just to hear that, you know, something like that, a layer of protection exists, and I wanted to know what was it about. And it is very important to have a middle ground, a liaison. Mm-hmm. Between pills and needles, like you just said, and that layer of service that really is interested in who they're serving, and not so much as that you're there, you're another body in the bed, either getting medicine or having a procedure where perhaps the medical provider has their line of intentions in one area. And that is the mm-hmm. procedures and the cost and delivering those procedures. But your industry is about the patient care, how the patient feels, that line of making those decisions that need to be made in these types of arenas, and then making sure that that person is looked out for as an individual in all aspects, not just, okay, you need an operation and here's the pain medication and goodbye. So I love right. hearing that there's a layer that actually is really about the well-being on the full spectrum, not just the procedural or medicine deliveries. So we're going to take a brief mm-hmm. commercial break, and then we're going to come back and talk about Aflac right after this.
Okay.
Hey, guys, it's me, Michelle Berard, host of Somewhere in the Middle and founder and CEO of Urban Book Editor LLC. Are you feeling like you're stuck and can't move forward? Have you been struggling to birth a big goal like a book or a business? Are you feeling overwhelmed and looking to make changes in your career? If you're at all like me, when that deer in headlights feeling hits you, you just don't know where to begin. Yeah, you can talk with friends or family, but when you're in need of an objective opinion, it helps to speak with someone who's prepared to listen and to provide practical guidance to help you move forward. That's where a coach comes in. That's why I'm so excited to share with you that energy worker and coach Julia Black and I have teamed up to help you get unstuck and start moving towards your goals again. And to make it easy for you, we're offering a complimentary call with one of us to help you start moving forward. All you have to do is go to WeRiseMovement.com to schedule your free insight and inspiration call with either Julia or me. The insight and inspiration call can help you get clear about your goals, uncover hidden challenges that may be hindering your progress, discover steps you can take today to move toward accomplishing your goals, and you'll leave the session feeling renewed, re-energized, and inspired to take action. Visit WeRiseMovement.com and schedule your free insight and inspiration call today. That's WeRiseMovement.com.
And And welcome back live on Save Sisters Advocating Via Economics. I am your host, Beverly Black, and my guest, J. Elliott Howard, has given us a full array of him as the man, the Howard Family Foundation, the author, poet, and the new partnership with H.D. Campbell and Hard Drive Publishing, and also with HHS1.com, and that is health, not health and human services, but it is a first line liaison between the medical provider and the patient, just to summarize and ad lib. Now, I am so excited. This is the part that I've been waiting for. Mr. J. Elliott Howard is an Aflac insurance representative. Please expound about what you do, what you provide, what types of insurances that we can take advantage of through you, and if there are any investment type options also available, and of course, the states in which you personally can make that available through you. This is your time to give us all the skinny on what finance options we have through you. So please share. Okay,
well, in terms of Aflac, we are supportive of like businesses of all sizes, but definitely an asset for smaller businesses. Just so you understand, 98% of American businesses are small, and they employ 1/3 of the nation's private workforce. However, only 55% of small businesses offer health insurance. Okay, and here's it, and this is why this is key. We're in a society where we're in this transition, right? And there's all, even with the pandemic, there's been layoffs, there's been furloughs, and there's a lot of talent that's out there. And small businesses want the talent as much as the big businesses do. But how do they make themselves more attractive to get that A-level player? Because, you know, it's really important to have a good team. A good team will make you successful. It's not just about the owner and a dream. It's that you got to have people that are willing to work with you. And insurance is how you make them feel secure with their decision to be along with you. What supplemental insurance does with Aflac is, as opposed to your regular health insurance, is that it places the employee and more of a control over their finance, because we pay the employee as opposed to the doctor. You understand? So the money goes to, so if Beverly Black was in her and Trav Family Channel were a client of Aflac, okay, and she has an insurance policy with herself, has an insurance policy with Aflac as a result.
Uh-huh.
And she goes to see the doctor, right? And the traditional insurance that you have to pick and choose which hospital that actually is in line with, we'll say, Blue Cross and Blue Shield. This is just for an example. I'm not saying this is a customer. I don't know that. But just for this suggestion, right? So Blue Cross and Blue Shield says she has to go to X, Y, and Z hospital because that's the one that's underneath their umbrella. Otherwise,
uh-huh,
you know, she might not, the procedure might not get covered, whatever it is, right? And then it's still a percentage of the cost is going to be covered. She's still going to have to cover out-of-pocket expenses until she gets up to that deductible, right? And so all those little things there matter, and that's all, and that's just in the medical arena. If, you know, Beverly can't show up to work, Beverly is an hourly associate, right? Whatever, and so she's not able to, she's not working, she's not getting paid. So whatever money that she has up until, you know, that she was making up until she had gotten hurt and can't work, that's what she has to work with to pay her bills until she can get back to work and get paid, right? So, and she never really sees the money decision-wise. That's all handled through the insurance company that she has. So she's not really in charge of any of the financial decisions that she might need to make because the money is never really in her hands. What Aflac does, we don't negotiate, we don't work with. We only work with Beverly. go wherever Beverly would go, right? And she says, I went to XYZ hospital or went to see XYZ doctor. She just makes the claim. We would have an app that she can have on her phone to put the files, the claim, and within 24 hours, the money will be into her account, her actual bank account, to use as she needs it. Let's say, like, she goes to the doctor, and the way the policy is, the way that the policy is, that 100% of that doctor's visit is covered, right? Any of the doctor's visits you go to is covered. But you're still not able to work, but you still need to be able to pay your rent or your car note or anything like that. Regardless of what your insurance pays, Aflac still pays you. See, as we use the money, whatever you need to use that for. Okay? We don't ask. You had the policy. We just give you the money.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, what state is that level of service available in?
Well, I mean, Aflac is in all 50 states. I presently have clients in Georgia, and I have clients in Texas. Presently.
Okay.
I'm working on adding more states to my repertoire. I had more states when I was doing other things in life insurance besides Aflac, but Aflac has life insurance as well. Okay?
Right.
So we got life insurance and supplemental packages that can work for both the individual as well as for the company. And here's the thing. Then we're back to the small business portion. So if you even only had like three people working in the business, that's really all you need to get a discount. The rates are already low as an individual, but it becomes even more of a discount when you do it with your business and you have at least three people sign up for a policy. If not everyone has to get the same thing, they can get different things. But if you and two of your friends that are working for you at the company sign up, the discount that comes, you have access to the entire portfolio that is there because of it's a business. So it's like Gumbo for the Soul, right?
Right.
Gumbo for the Soul has like three people assigned. No, that's at least three people that are working there, and they want and you want to have Aflac as a supplement to help out with controlling HR costs and also to make you more attractive to bringing in more talent. Because Gumbo for the Soul is a wonderful place to work. Okay, and then guess what? You get a whole catalog of things become available to you as a result of that. And then for employers, because we're talking about profitability, these are things that affect your profitability as an employer, okay? Because if you have high turnover, it costs a lot to bring somebody on the whole onboarding process, train them only for them to disappear. You want them to bring it, you want them to come, and you want them to stay. If you have people that they're coming and they're staying, that means they're happy with being there. They're happy with being there, that affects their performance, which then impacts how they're interacting with customers that provide the revenue for your business, which then you're making more money as a result. Everybody is happy. And we actually we have a whole HR suite that handles that for you. So that from the explaining of the policies to administrating the policies to working with the employees every step of the way. As an employer, really doesn't have to have their hands on anything. You want this to make things, and, you know, shouting out the number, like I said, you consider that only 55% of small businesses offer health insurance at all. That means it's 45% that don't, okay? So in the 5.8 million companies in the United States that have 99 or fewer employees, but 91% of those have fewer than 20. So and right now, the concern with the business owners is, you know, that surprisingly 66% of these business owners are more concerned having more flexibility, satisfaction, or control than they are with their business growth. So, and 70% of small businesses do not offer supplemental insurance. And, you know, what I get when I've gone into companies is like, say, well, I don't know if I need it, or I don't think that I do. And I'm like, well, what are you offering for your employees as well? Because, see, employees want that peace of mind that home is taken care of. You never want to have, and I've been in operations management for over 20 years, okay? And I will say this. You don't want somebody to have to be concerned about home while they're working for you. And this is how we're able to actually provide a way that home is able to be taken care of. And we work with you every step of the way.
Wow. Wow. Well, I am just enamored with the full spectrum and the entire array of J. Elliott Howard as the man, the author, the poet, the representative with HHS, the person that evokes the empathy and the compassion to be at that level in an organization, and then an Aflac representative, and of course, a host on Tribe Family Channel, Millennial Money Management. And we know that you have a show coming up next Thursday. Your guest will be Matthew Kukla, and that is going to be at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 12 noon on the East Coast, 10 Mountain and 11 Central. So anyone that wants to have a further dialogue with Mr. J. Elliott Howard, be sure to tune in to Millennial Money Management right here on Tribe Family Channel. Congratulations to you again for everything.
Thank you. I got one more thing to add for you. Also, following the show on September 26th, Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you're in Central Standard Time, that would be 2 to 3:30. I am going to be part of Queenie Clem's Here We Go Again, Author Showcase and Book Tour 2. And I'm part of a panel for all the business, like about 10 male authors. I'm one of them. And we're going to be talking about our book. So look for Queenie Clem on Facebook. She's going to have that. She has that event going on. And I'm going to be part of it also. September 26th. So it's going to be a weekend of, like, if you want to get to know me even better, yeah, starting from the 24th to the 26th. Next week.
Awesome. Well, awesome, awesome, awesome all around. Continued success for everything that you are doing, all the many layers that you have your hands in. There is a plethora of business out there. The thing that I emphasize, ladies and gentlemen, in these trying times is to be innovative. And I mean that because we are born out of struggle. We have come a mighty long way. We may have a mighty long way to go, but we can get there. We have to continue innovative. Don't be driven by fear. And let's have a higher level of focus around our intentions. Now, J. Elliott Howard, I want to thank you once again for being a phenomenal guest and radio show host with us here live on Tribe Family Channel. You continue to stay safe with your family, you and yours, and we'll continue to keep all in our prayers.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
And I appreciate you. Thank you so much once again. And thank you so much to our listeners for listening in on Save Sisters Advocating via Economics. I am Beverly Black. I'm the creator and I am your host. You can visit us at tribefamilychannel.com. Our parent company is GumbleForTheSoulInternational.com. We have a plethora of anthologies under development. I, too, am in the literary arena as a publisher, author, and compiler of anthologies, Women of Honor, Men of Honor, Suicide is Not the Answer, Called to Serve. Please take part in these anthologies. We focus on health, wellness, and advocacy. God bless and have a wonderful weekend. Stay safe.
You know I love music. And every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun. But it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me want to... Cause I'm waiting, it's been a long week, I put some beer.